Money Sense this weekend, we continue our conversation with special guest Tim Hammond on farmers retiring and farmland values these days. Money Sense begins after this break.
It's Money Sense time. Welcome to the program. We're going to continue on with a conversation we started last week, a very interesting program, especially for our farm folks out there. We've got Kevin Hegedus, portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners and the founder of PWM Private Wealth Council back, of course, and our special guest, Tim Hammond. Tim is a broker and owner of Hammond Realty, an independent real estate brokerage that specializes in agricultural real estate here in Saskatchewan. Kevin, good to see you again. And Tim, welcome back to the program. Looking forward to continuing our conversation on farmland values that we kicked off last week. And for those of you that missed the show, Tim was here discussing 100 years of farmland values and what the data and trends can teach us. If you're interested in listening to that show or watching it, you can visit pwmprivatewealth.com. My understanding is this week we're going to discuss why retired farmers are starting to sell and what's changed. Kevin?
Well, that's correct, Brent. You know, and there's a quiet shift happening right now, and many retired farmers who've been renting out their land are actually deciding to sell it. And it's not just about the money. It's about family. It's about timing. It's about peace of mind. And, you know, I've done hundreds of financial plans over the last 30 years, and one of the areas that we obviously specialize in is planning for farm families. And these plans usually had two or three different scenarios. So one, they would retire, they'd pass on the farm to the next generation. The second one, they would retire and they would sell the equipment and the inventory and then simply rent out the land. And then the last one is they would just simply sell out completely, all of which are going to have different outcomes. There's going to be different tax considerations and different degrees of planning. But what I've noticed just in the last 18 to 24 months is that the last scenario, the selling, is actually picked up. You know, 10 years ago, very few farmers wanted to even look at that option. When I was doing plans for them, they said, I don't even want option three, but more are asking to see what the numbers look like today. So again, I think there's that subtle shift that we all want to be aware of.
I'm looking forward to delving a little deeper into that topic, and we will with our guest, Tim Hammond. But tell us a bit about how you and Tim came together to provide this value-added agricultural expertise for your clients.
Yeah, you know, and again, just I'm really happy to have Tim on the show and joining us today. You know, I guess many of you already know Tim as the founder and CEO and broker of Hammond Realty. But him and I met 5 or 6 years ago, and we were in a business group together. And it was a group that shares best ideas and best practices and business owners that try and help each other out running their businesses. So trying to share ideas. So that's where we first met. And then recently we had a joint a colleague of ours kind of reunite us again, started talking about some of these areas that farmers are interested in. And we thought this would be a great idea to collaborate and maybe do a couple radio shows. And then we're going to do some workshops this fall together as well.
Interesting stuff, Kevin, and obviously very exciting for your clients at PWM, and especially those who maybe are at that critical point deciding, what are we going to do with our farm? Welcome back to the program, Tim. Tell us your elevator speech. What's your background? And you've got a really interesting background that's really led you to this point as far as agricultural real estate.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that, Brent. So I'm originally from Bigger, Saskatchewan. New York is big, but this is bigger. I grew up on a straight grain farm kind of southwest of town, about 25 miles. So, but anyways, due to allergies and asthma, I could not farm, but I want to be connected with agriculture. And so I went to the University of Saskatchewan. I got a degree in agricultural economics from the College of Agriculture. And from that, that was 1991. Then I started working with Farm Credit Canada. So I spent 11 years with Farm Credit Canada. And I thought I'd be making loans and helping farmers grow their operation, but it was a lot of debt settlement, right? It was just kind of the consequences of the 80s that we had to clean up. So, and we did. And so we took all this land back, and I worked with a specialized division to manage it, to sell it, to value it, and to get it back into farmers' hands. So I worked with Farm Credit for 11 years, and we achieved our goal. We sold our 1.25 million acres in 2002, and I said, I like doing this. So I stepped out on my own and decided to do it on a private basis. So in 2002, I started selling real estate, and I'd sell anything to kind of get going. But really, my passion, my heart was in farmland. That's where I wanted to go. And as I kind of got deal flow and got better at it, I did less houses and more farms all the time. And then in 2006, I set up my own company, Tim Hammond Realty. And then we, you know, with the purpose of kind of growing this into an agricultural real estate brokerage. So I did. We kind of grew it over, you know, the next 10 years from myself to 10 different agents. And now that's what we do. We specialize in agricultural sales. That's all that we do. We're in every nook and cranny in Saskatchewan, and we love to solve problems and create opportunities for people.
And with the years of experience you've got, you clearly bring a lot of knowledge to the area of ag land sales. As Kevin mentioned earlier, he says we're starting to see a trend that retired farmers are re-entering the market after years of leasing. Do you see this, and what do you think is causing this shift?
Absolutely. And so I'm going to provide a little context, you know, before I comment on that. And so when I first started selling farms in 2002, it was still hard in agriculture, right? And so if people wanted to retire, they had to sell the farm. They didn't have savings. They didn't have resources. And so if they exited farming, they wanted to retire, they had to sell their farms. And so so over the 2000s, though, then agriculture started to get a little bit better. And so by about 2010, 2011, somewhere in there, I noticed a change. So these farmers had started to accumulate some savings, you know, some wealth, and they retired, but they didn't sell their farm, you know, and so they just hung on to their land base. And honestly, it was a great decision because there was a few things impacting that is, you know, they could rent out their land. They could make a 5-6% return. Whereas if they sold the land and put the money in the bank, it was like 1%, right? So their dividend was hugely bigger. And plus, farmland was on a roll, right? You know, so, you know, if you asked anybody who to invest in 2010, it'd be, you know, farmland, right? So why get out? So it's kind of it. So people, when they retired, they stopped selling their farmland. But what's kind of interesting is, you know, like what I noticed is, so back in 2012, in January, we would have 850 farms on the market in Saskatchewan in January, right? You know, but over the next decade, in January, when we go to measure that, it had dropped down to 200. So the amount of farms that had gone up for sale had dropped, you know, by 75-80%. And, you know, farmers out there looking to expand, they're wondering why it was so tough. That's part of it, right? And one of it was the price was going up, but the other price was nobody wanted to sell. So, you know, but fast forward to where we're at today. And so now the land values are triple what they were 10 years ago. If you do sell your farmland, you can get 4-5% kind of return. If you rent out your farmland, you're looking at 2.5-3.5%. So, you know, things have changed. And so this is part of why I'm seeing, you know, people bring their land to market. And the other thing that's happening is 10 years ago, they thought their kids wanted the land. And today they've accepted that maybe their kid, it isn't important to the kids. So, you know, that's maybe fueling part of it. So again, we're starting to see this movement. It's not a flood yet, but we've got 10 years of retired farmers who haven't sold their land that may do that.
We're talking farmland values and why we're seeing this trend of retired farmers now starting to sell their farmland as opposed to perhaps leasing it on our Money Sense program. We're back with more in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back on our Money Sense. We're talking farmland values and why we're seeing this trend of more retired farmers starting to sell as opposed to holding on to their land and leasing. We've got our guest, Tim Hammond, broker and owner of Hammond Realty, joining us with his expertise. And Kevin Hegedus is here with PWM Financial Services. Kevin?
Yeah, thanks, Brenton. You know, every business owner is going to reach a point when they're faced with that question, what am I going to do with my business, right, when I'm ready to retire? And farming is no different and maybe even more difficult. You know, I think about our farm. I grew up in Waka, a little shout out to Waka, Saskatchewan, great community. But I think about the farm where my grandfather settled and the house is still there. It's about a 300 or 400 square foot home where my dad and his two sisters were raised. And there's still an emotional tie to me, even though I never farm, but I farm with my dad, you know, right up until we rented the land out when he passed away about 20 years ago. But I look at my kids, right? They grew up in the city, and it's just not the same for them, right? They don't have the emotional tie. So, Tim, I guess the question is, can you tell us what some of the emotional or legacy considerations that would come into play when you're making that decision?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, it is emotional, right? Like this, because there is a deep generational tie across this land, right? It often represents family history, sacrifice, commitment, success, and identity, right? And so there's a lot of the family history right in the soil. And, you know, the guy that's farming it, like, he feels that day in, day out, right? And so it's a difficult decision to kind of come to, you know, selling the farm, right? And a lot of people's identity are wrapped up in the farm. Like, I think of my dad as well, right? Is, you know, he doesn't farm. He is a farmer, right? You know, so that decision to sell the farmland is incredibly kind of tough to him. So, but it has to be made if no one else is going to farm it. You know, and as long as, you know, if you're going to pass it down to the family, give it to them, just, you know, does that family have that same connection to the land, right? Is it as important to them as it is to, you know, the current farming generation?
And are you seeing how family dynamics and succession plans are really influencing these land sales nowadays?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, like, a lot of people decide to, you know, to roll the business over to their family, but they've acquired significant operations, right? And financially, sometimes that, you know, the farming son or daughter can't just buy them outright, right? So, you know, some of the impact is they'll buy them out partially. And then, you know, the parents will sell the land, the rest of the land, to kind of fund their retirement. But, you know, we'll look for investors to kind of partner with them, right? So actually the farm maintains the same land base. It's just, you know, who owns it is a little bit different. So it does impact. And I mean, they'd love to own it all, but financially you got to look at this as well too.
Tim, when you think about unlocking value, what does that mean for a retired farmer today?
Okay, that's a really interesting question, because unlocking value is different than maximizing value, I think. And, you know, I think getting the highest price is one thing, but unlocking value is about what that sale enables in your life, right? And so I'm a member of Strategic Coach, and one of the first things that they teach us is, you know, the four freedoms. You know, the freedom of time, the freedom of money, the freedom of relationships, and the freedom of purpose. And that's what this transition does, right? You know, that's how you unlock your value is, okay, what, you know, there's the resources, what can they cash flow for us and what we want to do, right? Now I have this extra time, where am I and who am I going to spend it with, right? So you have that ability. So just, I think having clarity before you sell, knowing what your next chapter is and how the proceeds will serve you is truly how you unlock your value.
Okay, Tim, here's the million-dollar question. We've got some farm folks listening in, watching our program today, and they're kind of stuck wondering, are we going to sell or what? So what do you think the important questions are they need to be asking themselves?
Well, I think if they're thinking timing, just, you know, watch the market. You know, Trent said something that was really interesting. He doesn't see a sell signal yet. He said, but if land values start to drop, that might be a signal, you know, and history says that once it starts to drop, it could be a while. So just watch those markets, just pay attention to it. You know, also ask yourself, you know, will my family benefit more from the land itself or the value it represents? If you're thinking whether to sell it or to will it, you know, just ask yourself that question. And, you know, and then also ask yourself, you know, this decision that I'm making, is it based on emotion and tradition, or is it a clear long-term plan, right? You know, because land can be very emotional. We don't think we're emotional, but I say, like, 20% of my job is real estate and 80% is counseling, you know? So, you know, just acknowledge that, right? And be aware of it. It might not be impacting, but just check.
I'm sure Kevin Hagedis can relate to what you're saying, because I know on our Money Sense program over the years, he's talked about farm succession and also selling the family cottage, both very emotional situations for a lot of family out there. We're just about out of time. Tim Hammond, any final thoughts on farm sales, farm values, and big questions retiring farmers need to be asking themselves?
Yeah, you know, like farmland, it's really more than an investment. It's history, it's identity, and it's security. So deciding it isn't just about, you know, timing the market. You know, it's about understanding what the sale will mean for you next, right? And unlocking value is really about unlocking freedom, right? What if you do sell the farm, what are you going to use these proceeds for, right? For, you know, relationships and purpose. So anyways, that looks different for everyone, but the key is to be intentional. You know where you're going before you make the decision to sell, and then surround yourself with the right advisors so the outcome matches your goals. So, you know, and when you do that, you're not just selling land, you're shaping your future and unlocking value.
And of course, that financial advisor you want to be dealing with would be Kevin Hagedis and his team at PWM. Kevin, some final thoughts on our program here today.
Yeah, you know, very, very well said, Tim. And really looking forward to this fall where we can do some of the Life After Harvest seminars together. Again, featuring Tim, Andrew Rodek, and myself, talking about farmland values, trends, risks, but also preparing for the sale, even talking about incorporating strategies and getting ready for that. What are capital gains going to look like, and protecting your financial well-being, and really the importance, as you mentioned earlier, of having that clear financial plan put in place. And I think it all boils down to, you know, how to live a wealthy and fulfilling life. So again, we've got four locations. November 5th will be in Unity, November 6th in Rosetown, the 7th in Melfort, and on the 8th here in Saskatoon.
Seats are limited. People want to find out more about these seminars. By all means, call the office of PWM. Kevin, it's always been a pleasure having you on our program. And Tim Hammond, thank you for joining us this weekend and last weekend, sharing your insights on the trend of retired farmers selling and the factors that we see driving this change. Kevin, for clients interested in finding out more about our topic, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you know, as always, for more information, you can arrange a complimentary review of your portfolio as well. And you can do that by giving us a call at 306-975-9500. Or just go to our website, which is pwmprivatewealth.com.
Great program this weekend and last weekend with Tim Hammond. Again, we invite you to tune in next week for another episode of Money Sense.
Financial planning services are offered through PWM Private Wealth Council. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. PWM Private Wealth Council is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. You've been listening to Money Sense.